it there. We thank you so much, Mariano Espinosa and Gerardo Zamudio. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, this is Angelo at your concert billboard for Tuesday, May 5th. Gavin Rossdale will be playing Blender Theater at Gramercy. Electric Six with Living Things will be live at the Bowery Ballroom. Lady Sovereign with The Roots will be at the Highline Ballroom. And right here at the Stoller Center for the Arts tonight will be the University Orchestra going on at 8 p.m. Moving on to Wednesday, you have Colin McGrath and Chris Trepper at Deepwell's Mansion. MOTU will be having their blues jam night at McGuire's. Lady Sovereign with Chester French and Hollywood Holt will be at the Music Hall of Williamsburg. Vampire Weekend will be live at Joe's Pub. And we have a marathon of music going on at Sullivan Hall featuring The Once Was, 39 Goodbyes, The David Kolker Band, and The Dirk Gwynne Band. If you have a gig you'd like read on the concert billboard, email scene at wusb.fm. That is S-C-E-N-E at WUSB.FM. We also have more listings on our webpage, WUSB.FM, so please check that out. And remember, you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Take it away, Joe.
And it's 6:02. Yeah, 6:02 p.m. It's Tuesday night. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time for Off the Wall. And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, where Off the Wall has begun. We'll be taking phone calls tonight, 631-632-9872, in just a little bit. Stand by. Thank you. And good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Yes, I'm sorry for the loud squeak, for one thing. You know, how hard would it be just to put oil in that? I don't know. Are you supposed to put oil in that? Yeah, I'll turn down the music for a second. I want you to hear this. I mean, that's a loud noise. And that's on the microphone. No, I'm amazed. Things actually are working tonight. And it wasn't the shock of that so much that delayed me a little bit. Actually, I had Firefox crash on me on the Mac here, and everything was going so well. And all of a sudden, I have a story up there on the screen, and I can't scroll down no matter what. And then I couldn't even go to a new URL or anything, so I had to start over. It's always something, isn't it? Always something. But, yeah, for the most part, things seem to be doing quite well right now. We got delay working, we've got new headphones, we've got everything. I shouldn't say this, should I? But everything seems to be going just swell. And nothing can possibly go wrong, can it? All right. We have a new president. No, I don't mean the one down there. I mean the one up here. We have a new president at Stony Brook. That's right. There was a coup last night. Bloodless. There wasn't much damage to buildings either. And when it was over, the campus security wound up backing the new guy, and that's really what you need. It's you know, the students basically wanted this new guy, but once campus security gets involved and they actually you know, put their armaments behind the new leader, that's when you actually see something happen. So you need that backing. You definitely need the backing in order to throw the old people out. So yeah, we are moving ahead into a new regime here at Stony Brook. And the incoming president says the key to surviving severe state budget cuts is for the school to become more competitive for federal research money. That's the words of Dr. Samuel Stanley. Samuel Stanley, that's a name you're going to be hearing a lot. Our new president. He was unanimously appointed by the State University trustees as, you know how many presidents we've had? He was appointed just a little while ago, in fact, a few hours ago. Yeah, we had that little meeting with the junta, and they pointed their guns at the people voting, and the people voted all the same way. Amazing. Huh? how much trouble can I possibly get in here? Okay, how many presidents have we had? Anybody want to guess? 30? No, that's way off. It's a campus, not a country, all right? We haven't been around that long. We've been around since around, what, 1960 or something? Yeah, our fifth president. And you know what? I can name almost all of them. I think. Wait, Shirley Strumkenny is our current president. Before her was John Marburger. Before John Marburger was that John Toll? Yeah, I think John Toll was before Marburger. I know we had an interim president. Didn't we have an interim president of named T. A. Pond or something at some point? But there's one I don't know. There's at least one I don't know. So if anybody out there has information on all the presidents of Stony Brook, please email that to us, otw@2600.com. But yes, Dr. Samuel Stanley was unanimously appointed as our fifth president. He said the university needs to do a better job in keeping the radio station with new equipment and improving our air signal. But no improvement is needed in the quality of what we actually put out over the air. I'm sorry, what they actually put out of the air, obviously, because he was saying that, not me. He says basically also that we also need to do a better job in terms of research enterprise and our sponsored research. We haven't really tracked with the doubling of the National Institutes of Health budget. It was a lost opportunity, he said. He said he'd like to create an infrastructure that would provide technical support for faculty seeking research grants, including how to manage budgets and using emeritus professors. Is it emeritus or emeritus? I so rarely use that word, I don't know how to say it properly. But, you know, those professors with lots of experience. To evaluate grant proposals before they are submitted. Stanley comes from Washington University in St. Louis. It's expected to start here at Stony Brook on July 1st. He's going to collect $650,000 a year. Officials on the Presidential Search Committee said Stanley's medical background and his experience managing a nearly $500,000 research budget played a large role in their decision to recommend his hiring. And besides boosting Stony Brook's research funding, which clocks in at about $184 million, the university faces continuing questions about the role of the president in overseeing its hospital and medical school. At the same time, however, Stanley, a vice chancellor less than 3 years, has limited administrative experience for a president of a major research institution. There's no doubt I've never been a university president before, Stanley said. I have a lot to learn, but the key is leadership skills, and I have an ability to identify talented people and the ability to listen. Those are good things to have. So, all the best to Dr. Samuel Stanley, fifth president of Stony Brook, named today. And like I said before, we'll be taking some phone calls later on. We haven't done that in a while, and I'd like to hear from people out there. So write down the number, 631-632-9872. I'd like to hear what's been going on in your lives, any particular observations of the passing scene. Swine flu. Well, we don't call it swine flu anymore. Now it's called HNN1. In fact, on the European channel, they call it influenza A. So I guess so. We can't even make up our minds what we want to call it. We shouldn't blame the swine, though. Shouldn't blame the Bush administration. No, different swine. Sorry. We shouldn't blame the pigs. Wait, that still means... Okay, well, we shouldn't blame those cute little animals with the snouts. Shouldn't blame them because they didn't do it. Well, not intentionally, anyway. In fact, some guy went up to Canada and infected his pig farm because he went to Mexico. And we shouldn't blame Mexicans either, even though a lot of people want to do that. It's not right. Oh, and by the way, happy Cinco de Mayo. What did I just say? Well, basically, it's Spanish for the 5th of May. And if you check your calendars... And if you're listening to us live, and if you come in a little faster.
All right, this is Angelo at your concert billboard for Tuesday, May 5th.
Yeah, well, you know, the idea was to say it's Tuesday, May 5th right from the beginning instead of about 20 seconds in. But yeah, now just to verify, this is Tuesday, May the 5th. And that's music from Mexico. Don't you think it's weird that there is no music from Mexico played on any airwaves around here that I can find anyway? And I'm always exploring the airwaves, discovering pirate stations and various Haitian broadcasts in Brooklyn and things like that. Spanish churches broadcasting on our frequency in Queens. But I never hear this kind of music, and I really love this kind of music, because whenever I go to Mexico, and by the way, there's some good deals going to Mexico right now, I always hear this music, and I don't hear it. I hear salsa music, I hear all kinds of other Spanish-themed music in the tri-state area, but not this. And I've said this many times, wouldn't it be swell if somebody here at this radio station did a show like this, with this kind of music? Considering the large Mexican community around us, you know, that all the right-wingers are protesting against. Well, it exists, and it's here to stay. And I think it would be just dandy if we broadcast to that community, considering our transmitter, in fact, is right smack in the middle of it. Why not, on Cinco de Mayo, have 24 hours of just this kind of music? And not just that kind of music, but all kinds of music from Mexico, because it's pretty diverse and... interesting and underplayed. Anyway, to get back to Cinco de Mayo, it's a regional holiday in Mexico. I'm going right to Wikipedia on this one. Primarily celebrated in the state of Puebla, with some limited recognition in other parts of Mexico. The holiday commemorates the Mexican army's unlikely victory over French forces at the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, 1862. And that's under the leadership of Mexican General Samuel Stanley. No, wait a minute. We can't mix up the stories like that. Hold on. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Mexican General Ignacio Zaragoza Seguin. You can see how I got confused. The outnumbered Mexicans defeated a much better equipped French army that had known no defeat for almost 50 years. They were the Manchester United of armies. and boy, were they sore losers. However, Cinco de Mayo is not an obligatory federal holiday in Mexico, but rather a holiday that can be observed voluntarily. A voluntary holiday. I like those. All right, I'm sorry, but we seem to have been struck by yet another demon here. So we have this CD recorder on the other side of the room that records the programs, and I see it's flashing now repair, or repair now, or something. And I don't know why. Hold on, I have to walk up to the other side of the room and try to fix this. Let's hear some music while I do that. The things I have to go through in this place. Okay, I think it's working now. But it's going to be a little messed up. It aborted. I don't know why. It's never done that before. You know, just when we get everything else working, something new has to break. Where was I? It's a voluntary federal holiday in Mexico. And while Cinco de Mayo has limited significance nationwide in Mexico, the date is observed here in the United States and other locations around the world as a celebration of Mexican heritage and pride. However, a common misconception in the United States, one that I'd like to clear up right here and now, is that Cinco de Mayo is Mexico's Independence Day. And no, you ignoramai, it is not. That day is actually September 16th. And that's the most important national patriotic holiday in Mexico. And you better believe it's not voluntary. But, you know, it's kind of pertinent because of all the Mexican news that has been bandied about in the last week or so. Because of this whole swine flu thing. I guess we have to call it swine flu because that's how people will remember it. And it originated in Mexico, according to all the reports. And as if all kinds of discrimination against Mexicans wasn't bad enough, boy, this really has added to it, like you would not believe. All the anti-immigration people are having a field day, because not only are these Mexicans coming up here and stealing our jobs and basically polluting our pure environment with their brown skin and all kinds of other things that make us people nervous. But now they're getting us sick. Yeah, they're getting us sick somehow. Spreading their filth. Well, let's just, let's go straight to the horse's mouth on this story. There are all kinds of right-wing radio talk show hosts. I'm sure it's not hard for you to tune around and find one. And they won't be saying something all that different from what this guy said. This guy, Jay Severin. He's the fiery right-wing talk show host on Boston's WTKK-FM. And he was suspended on April 30th after calling Mexican immigrants, and get this, I don't even know how to say this right, criminalians? Is that how you say it? He merged the word criminal and alien, you know, with the AL at the end of criminal and the AL at the beginning of alien. Very clever, actually. I bet he didn't write that himself, though. Criminalians. He called them primitives. He called them leeches. He called them exporters of women with mustaches and VD, among other incendiary comments. Heidi Raphael, a spokeswoman for the station, said Severin had been suspended indefinitely from his afternoon drive time show. She declined to say which of his comments, made since an outbreak of swine flu, was linked to Mexico in recent days, sparked the suspension. It's amazing that, you know, you need a remark like that to say, you know what, this guy's a jerk. We should not have this person on our airwaves. He's bad for our public relations. He's bad for the community. He's not doing a public service in any sense of the word. And he's simply stirring up hatred. But no, you got to wait for him to say something like that. It's not obvious until he says something like that. That's the most incredible thing. I can assure you, she said, that the station has not been using the remarks for which he has been suspended in on-air promos. As if that is something that they would actually do. My God, is it really? They would use remarks like that for promos? Why does she have to say that? It's incredible. Maybe they have been, and they've been accused of that. In an email, Severin, a bombastic voice whose views often mirror those of fringe conservatives and who rarely lacks something to say, he referred questions to his lawyer. I am simply not at liberty to discuss it at this time, he wrote. Was that really worthy of quoting that email? I don't know. George Tobia, his lawyer, said it was not clear how long Severin will be on suspension. How long would you think this guy should be suspended for saying things like that? You know, I think the word length shouldn't even be part of it. Because it's infinite. You can't measure it. It's impossible for humans to grasp how long this guy will be suspended for. That's my opinion anyway. I'm sure it won't happen. It really depends on how much pressure is put on him. Put on the station, that is. All we know is it's indefinite, he said in a telephone interview. We're just learning of it, and we're dealing with it. Severin's comments sparked deep concern among Mexicans and other Latinos living in the Boston area, prompting what Tobia described as a flood of complaints to station management in recent days. It would certainly be unfortunate if someone was suspended because some people didn't like what he said. Okay, well, what exactly should somebody be suspended for then? Just, what, physical assault or starting fires in the station or something? I mean, what exactly, if you say something that is so horribly reprehensible and offensive, are you going to hide behind free speech and say, well, you know, that's my opinion. You don't like what I say. Well, you can turn the station off. You can, you know, turn the radio off, turn to a different station. Yeah, at some point you have to be somewhat responsible. You can't just go on the... I mean, this is something I learned as a teenager when I walked into this place. Be responsible. Why is it these grown-ups making huge amounts of money have not been taught this, or in fact have been encouraged to do just the opposite? Common sense, common decency. In one of his broadcasts last week, Severin said, so now in addition to venereal disease and the other leading exports of Mexico, women with mustaches and VD, now we have swine flu. Later he described Mexicans as the world's lowest of primitives. When we are the magnet for primitives around the world, and it's not the primitives' fault, by the way. Oh, isn't that nice? He's not blaming them. I'm not blaming them for being primitives. I'm merely observing their primitive. He added that Mexicans are destroying schools and hospitals in the United States. I think Bush did a pretty good job of that, huh? Come on, credit where credit's due. He also criticized their hygiene. It's millions of leeches from a primitive country come here to leech off you, and with it, they are ruining the schools, the hospitals, and a lot of life in America. You know, if this guy represents life in America, bring it on. Ruin it, please. as many people as possible to overrun your way of life, I would be thrilled with that. He went on. We should be, if anything, surprised that Mexico has not visited upon us poxes of more various and serious types already, considering the number of criminalians already here. In a previous broadcast last week, Severin argued that the Obama administration wasn't taking sufficient action to seal the border. The usual 5,000 criminalians that come across the Arizona border will probably be 8,000 tonight, and maybe tomorrow it'll be 12,000, because even Mexicans are going to be trying to get out of Mexico at a greater rate. Afterward, while talking to a nurse who called his show to complain about health care provided to immigrants... She called to complain about health care provided to immigrants. Amazing. He commiserated with her when she said she was glad she didn't work in an emergency room. You know, I'm glad you don't work in an emergency room, too, really. And he said, yeah, that they become essentially condos for Mexicans. Now, it's not the first time Severin has faced criticism for derogatory comments about minorities on his weekday program. On a 2004 broadcast, he compared U.S. Muslims to a fifth column, and when a caller suggested that the United States should befriend Muslims, Severin responded, "You think we should befriend them, I think we should kill them." Oh yes, yeah, just speech. Nothing wrong with that. He has called former Vice President Al Gore, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, a lying expletive. Well, now, wait a minute. This is what I don't get. I'm reading a story here from the Boston Globe. He went on the radio and called Hillary Rodham Clinton a lying expletive. And the word, I don't know what the word is because the Boston Globe didn't print it. Now, if he's able to say it on the radio, why can't the Boston Globe print it? It must not be one of the seven words if he said it. Or maybe he did say it, and they didn't bleep it. Or maybe they bleeped it, but they should mention that they bleeped it. I don't know. There's something wrong here. He also referred to Senator Edward Kennedy as a fat piece of lying garbage. Well, these are just personal name-calling exercises that he indulges in. And I think they can take it. I think they're strong enough. But when you target innocent people, innocent civilians, and spread hatred towards them, you know, it's one thing to hate a politician, to hate a leader, to hate somebody that has a lot of power already, and you actually have a reason to resent them. It's another thing to foster hatred against defenseless people, because then invariably you see it acted upon, and then you have real victims. We saw it here in Long Island. We saw it right in Patchogue a few months ago. I haven't heard an update on that case, the real swine who killed that guy from Ecuador simply because he was Hispanic. Went out hunting for Hispanic people late at night. Misunderstood kids, yeah. Severin has also been criticized over the years for falsely saying that he had won a Pulitzer Prize. This guy's a real work of art. And that he had earned a master's degree from Boston University. Amparo Anguiano, deputy counsel of the Consulate General of Mexico in Boston, called his latest language hate-mongering. "All he does is spread hate," she said. It's not the first time immigrants have been denigrated unfoundedly for being dirty, uncivilized, and bringing in diseases. There's nothing more to say other than these statements spread unfounded biases, hate, and prejudice. Marcela Garcia, editor of El Planeta, a Boston-based publication distributed to Latinos throughout the region, said she shudders when she hears Severin on the radio. "Anytime I catch him on the radio, it's aggravating, insulting, and disgusting," she said. "I just can't listen to him. He doesn't just show a lack of respect, he shows a lack of knowledge about what immigration means to this country. What he says just fuels the racist dialogue going on about immigration." And you know, you may say, well, then why don't you just not listen? Since you say you can't listen, why not just tune the dial and let him speak his opinions? And that's fine if they're opinions, just to simply opinions. But this goes beyond that. This goes beyond saying that you think that the borders should be sealed up and that there shouldn't be any amnesty granted to people who have immigrated here illegally, things like that. I mean, those are opinions. You may or may not agree with them, but when you go around saying things that basically lead people to fervently hate someone of a certain nationality or ethnicity or something like that, and basically put them one step away from just going out and doing what the idiots in Patchogue did, it goes beyond speech. It's a call to action at that point. Without actually saying it's a call to action, that's what it becomes. Franklin Saltz, a spokesman for the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, called Severin's language dehumanizing. "What he said is just patently offensive. There's been a huge rise in hate crimes against immigrants, especially Hispanics. And on the show, he doesn't just talk about Mexicans as criminals. He talks about them as if they were animals and should be quarantined." But Severin's lawyer said he expects that ultimately his client will be back on the airwaves. "I think we're going to sit down with them, station officials, soon, and just go forward and put it past us. I'm confident he'll be back on the air soon, but I don't know when or what the particulars are." There's an update to this story. also from the Boston Globe. That's what I was trying to get on the computer before. They had that meeting. And his agent, George Tobia, predicted he would be back on his afternoon drive time show soon. That's weird because in the article I just read, George Tobia was his lawyer. Now he's his agent. So I don't know. Can you be both? He says the meeting went well and he'll be back on the air soon. We can't say when, but he will be on. Well, that's where people power takes over, you know? That's where you you protest any advertiser. That's where you basically make your voices heard and say that you're not going to tolerate this kind of hate speech. And, you know, that should go any direction. If anybody speaks out with that kind of hatred towards any group of people, majority, minority, white, black, people have to react. And people of all colors, races, backgrounds have to react. Gay, straight, male, female, we all have to stand up for each other. WTKK and Greater Media. Greater Media. Okay, so they own WTKK, so target them as well. They value an open and vigorous dialogue, but we also strongly adhere to basic principles of civility, common decency, and respect for all cultures. We believe Jay's suspension is the best way to uphold both of these corporate policies. Just fire the guy. Fire the guy. Don't pay him anything. Say you're an idiot. You violated every sense of trust you could possibly have ever had. And if we see you on our property again, we're going to send a crowd of Mexicans to surround you and breathe on you and make you feel really uncomfortable. You have to sometimes speak on their levels. Now, here's the thing. In true internet style, where everyone's voice must be heard and treated as exactly the same as people who actually know what they're talking about, the Boston Globe welcomes comments from its readers, quote unquote readers, because I doubt they know how to read. Some people seem to get it. For instance, this person added some quotes saying how horrible this guy is. This was aired on July 10th, 2008, speaking about learning Spanish. Spanish? Your kids are learning Spanish? My condolences. Learn the language of the most recently arrived skillless, illiterate criminal immigrant. Why? Why? For what? What use is that for your children when they grow up? Or, pardon me, I guess I know, you're expecting them to join the Leaf crew or to skim my pool. WTKK listeners and decent-minded people everywhere deserve better than to be demeaned and diminished by such an angry voice. Another reader says Jay should be fired. Now, let's see. Take away Severin's incendiary words, flamboyance, and crude words, and he speaks the truth about illegal immigration. Unfortunately, it's the liberals in the media and academia that can't come to grips with the fact that the vast majority of these immigrants are here illegally, and it is causing the country problems. Can you say illegal immigrant? And there's a lot of caps in there, so I didn't want to shout the whole time. I look forward to hearing Jay again soon, as expected he'll be back. Those of you who think he is angry and hate-filled know deep down that most of what he is saying is true. Liberal white guilt is the difference that enables those of us on the right who lack such a peculiar trait to admit what you think deep down. Yeah. Let's be straight here. Yeah, let's. Jay Severin has always used the words... you didn't even get it right, you moron. Criminalians, you said. It's criminalians. He's always used it forever. That's wrong, too. Why now does WTKK feel offended? Because the economy has crashed and they have only half the advertisers and they now want to get out or lowball Jay's contract. They are slimy. Oh, yeah, that's what it's about. Jay speaks the truth. He does not cuss. He is dead on in his observations. This is censorship at its worst. At its worst, not worst. The stations want to screw him out of money. That is always what it is about, bottom line. Jay, stay strong and don't give in. And this one is just in all caps. Everyone knows what Jay says is correct and dead on, period. Stop the fake outrage. I will not listen to WTKK if Jay is silenced or even made to be boring. There is no one like him, and I will literally stop listening to WTKK if he apologizes. There is nothing to apologize for. Yeah. This reader makes a good point. Imagine if he said the same thing about Jews. Calling one race primitives is the definition of racism. Fire him now. And then you have this. If they are here illegally, they are criminalians. What's the beef? The beef is the liberals want all these illegal immigrants rewarded for their law-breaking ways, which also includes identity theft. If an American citizen tried that, the FBI would be on their doorsteps and they'd be serving 20 years to life with a hefty multi-thousands of dollar fine to boot. Okay, whatever. But hey, that's only for bona fide American citizens. Right, so the FBI basically is out to help the illegal Mexican criminalians and hurt the American citizens as much as possible. Glad it's been explained to me. Now I know who the enemies are. And, you know, it just goes on and on. It's incredible how many people support this kind of thing, and that's what really scares me. Like I said, it's not just an opinion about whether somebody should be in the country or not. It goes beyond that and starts discussing people as if they're not even people, not even humans, not even worthy of being treated with any decency whatsoever. And then that leads to all kinds of actions that simply are too despicable to mention. But they do make the news. Last Friday, a jury acquitted two teenagers of serious charges, including ethnic intimidation, in the fatal beating of Luis Ramirez, a 25-year-old Mexican immigrant, and that took place in Shenandoah, Pennsylvania last July. Police say that the teenagers used ethnic slurs as they repeatedly punched Ramirez, knocked him to the ground, and then kicked him several times in the head. Ramirez died of his injuries 2 days later. Hate crimes against Latinos have been increasing since 2003. That's according to FBI data. Oh, well, we know where the FBI stands, don't we? We've been told that the FBI is all in favor of illegal immigration, so of course they're going to make that statistic up, aren't they? Civil rights groups said that this increase correlates closely to the increasingly heated debate over immigration reform and a rise of anti-immigrant rhetoric on radio, television, and the internet. Last week, the House of Representatives passed the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crime Prevention Act, which will provide local authorities with more resources to combat hate crimes and give federal government jurisdiction over prosecuting hate crimes in states where the current law is inadequate. But that's a real problem with the need for something known as hate crimes in the first place. There really shouldn't be a need for that. But when the current law is so inadequate that people can literally get away with murder, it becomes necessary to come up with new charges. And I wish they didn't have to do that. But the proof is right in front of us. This verdict underscores the importance of the passage of this act, said Henry Solano, who's the interim president and general counsel of MALDEF. I don't think I know what MALDEF stands for. And I don't think they said, did they? Well, okay, whatever. It is time for the Department of Justice to step in and bring justice to the Ramirez family and send a strong message that violence targeting immigrants will not be tolerated and will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Basically, I think they just were found guilty of disorderly conduct or something like that, but they were not found guilty of any kind of racial profiling, or they weren't found guilty of murder, or anything remotely serious. They'll be out in the streets again relatively soon. And this is not an isolated instance. This happens quite a lot. All right. Well, that's about as depressing as I want to get tonight. But as I said, we do want to take phone calls. 631-632-9872. But we do have a lot more of this music to come. So let's see if we get phone calls. We get a couple of phone calls come in. We'll switch over to delay, which means we have to stop the music. So that's one of the reasons why I don't want to do that. Let's read some mail and see if we get some phone calls. 631-632-9872. Tell me if I'm wrong, by the way. Tell me if you think that we should have more people like that guy, like Severin on the air. there are plenty around. This is in response to the attempt to cross the United States border on the other side. When I was with a friend, we were trying to drive over without seeing customs. I may have found a path for you. There are some ways you can do it without going through customs legally. Satellite images do not show any structures near the border in this location. And, you know, I know I'm giving it away, but I'm not going to be doing it again anytime soon, so maybe somebody up there can try this out. North out of West Berkshire, Vermont, is a road called Potato Hill Road. At the border, it changes to Chemin de la Poste de Boston. Then, in about a quarter of a mile, it connects with Chemin McIntosh. From Canada, you go to the town of Frelingsburg. You take Rue Principale 237 to Chemin de Richford to Chemin McIntosh to Chemin de la Poste de Boston. And then go the other way. Well, I hope you have the opportunity to try this and report back. Thank you, Keith, for sending that in. But hopefully one of our listeners will have the opportunity to try that and report back. I'd love to hear the responses. Please try. Don't carry anything that in your car or on foot that you might get in trouble for. I want to find out what happened, though. Chico writes in to say, in response to our story about dogs riding the subway in Moscow, going into the city and then back out into the suburbs at night and getting off at the right stops, I kind of didn't think that was possible. But he says, I totally believe the dogs can do it. They know where they are much better than humans. Yeah, but do they really know train stops? Can they really figure that out? I mean, maybe. But how do they learn? It's incredible to me how we like to humanize animals. You know, make it seem like they're showing human emotions. Oh, look, he's sad. Well, maybe he is sad, but he's not feeling sad the same way we are. You know, they don't have the same kinds of human emotions. They don't even have human emotions. They have different kinds of emotions. Like, for instance, I was when I was in Ohio, I was bored. I had a television on, and they had one of those Benji films. Do you ever see these films that some cute little dog is out trying to do Lassie-like things that require great bits of intelligence and figuring things out? This dog was trying to rescue some lion cubs. Now, apparently the lion cubs had gotten separated from the mother. I don't know how that happened. I missed the beginning of the film. And they were at the bottom of a mountain, and the lion was at the top of the mountain. So this poor dog was beside himself trying to figure out how to get the lion cubs up to the mother. And he kept running up and down the mountain, trying to communicate with the lion, saying, look, lion, your cubs are down here. Look, cubs, follow me. Eventually, he wound up carrying some of them up the, I think he carried all of them up the mountain. But while he was doing this, he was making one of the trips and going back. And that's ridiculous right there, that a dog would think all this through. But when he got back, there was this big black wolf threatening the lion cubs, looking so evil. And you just knew this wolf is evil. The dog is cute, but the wolf is evil. And so this little pooch tries to mix it up with the wolf. And, of course, the wolf says, you know, what do you think you're doing? And eventually winds up chasing the dog. And the dog goes running down this path through the mountain. And then with the wolf in hot pursuit. And then at the last possible moment, Benji jumps to the side of the path. And the wolf keeps going straight, and he soars out over this cliff. Must be 1,000 feet above the ground. You just see this wolf falling to his death for about 10 seconds, becoming smaller and smaller, and then a little puff of dust. And I was like, whoa, Benji, what in God's name is going on in your head? You just plotted murder? I mean, dogs don't plot murder. They don't go and say, you know, I'm gonna fake the wolf out and he's gonna plunge to his death. Doesn't work that way. That's a human thing. I mean, a dog will kill, yeah, but a dog will kill with his teeth and by attacking. It's not gonna think it out and plant explosives and have it all laid out neatly while running away from a predator. No, it doesn't work that way. Anyway, long story short, eventually he reunited the cubs with their mother. It was all nice and cute. And, of course, the mother couldn't directly thank the dog. But as the dog was walking away and looked over his shoulder because he just wanted to get one last glance at the cute little lion cubs, the mother looked over her shoulder, which meant, I know what you did, and I'm thanking you for it. But if you ever cross my path again, yeah. Animals don't think that way. I'm sorry. All right. Okay, 631-632-9872. I'm going to go into delay, which means, regretfully, we have to stop the Cinco de Mayo music, or the Mexican music. But again, you know, I really hope to hear music like this on New York airwaves, maybe on our airwaves someday. And if you're in a Mexican community listening to us, USB is the kind of station you can just come up to, volunteer, and become part of the place. So we're located here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. All right, I'm going to fade that down. We're going to play an ID for you. And then next thing you know, we'll be back in delay.
This is Elvis, the Mexican Elvis, and you're listening to WUSB, Stony Brook Radio. Ow!
Here we are, back in delay. Amazing, isn't it? The marvels of technology, what's particularly marvelous is that it works. Things actually work sometimes. Okay, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Let's take some phone calls. Good evening. You are on Off the Wall.
Yeah, how you doing? Hi. I came in a little late with your program, but I got enough to catch that there's no room in society in general to tolerate anybody killing anyone. So it's not just one particular group of individuals, and I couldn't agree with you wholeheartedly. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if there's any time to talk about possibly some people come into this country legally or illegally and then seek employment.
Okay.
And then and maybe get hurt, and then the they're able to go after whoever they worked for under the table, and it seems like it's an open door policy for anybody to come into this country and then seek employment illegally and then get all the benefits after they do get hurt, and the person who helped them along doesn't have any recourse whatsoever.
Well, I've heard of cases where people get hurt and they have no rights because they're hired illegally and they don't have any benefits of any sort.
Yeah.
It goes both ways.
Yeah. I had an incident with myself happening. I'm a painting contractor.
Uh-huh.
And I had a gentleman seek employment with me, and he did get hurt. Tops of his fingers cut off, two fingers. And I never had workman's compensation. And he was able to go to the board, and I'm responsible for all of his medical bills. I'm getting hit with fines. And now he's going to be compensated for the loss and percentage-wise for two of his fingers. And we're probably looking at least $20,000, if not more, I'll be responsible for. And I cannot bring up in court the fact that he's in this country illegally and seeked employment illegally. Has absolutely.
Well, let's ask you, if he was in the country legally and he was an American citizen and everything that you just said had happened, wouldn't you be in the exact same boat?
If he was here legally.
You didn't have workman's comp. You would have had to have paid then, too, right?
Yes, absolutely. Right,
so, I sort of understand the point that it's not really relevant what his citizen background is. He was working for you. He is a human. He suffered something. It's unfortunate, obviously, but why should he be treated any less of a human when he was doing the same thing that somebody in this country would do? You know, he shouldn't be given a free pass as far as becoming a citizen.
Sure.
But since he was acting as a citizen when he was here, you know, if he was doing something else that a citizen could do, he would be treated the same way. For instance, if he was driving a car and he was speeding, they wouldn't say, well, you're not a citizen, so therefore you don't get a ticket. The bad and the good. Not that it's good that he's having all this medical procedures, but the point is we should treat people equally and look at the immigration issue as confined to the immigration part of it. You know what I mean? Oh, actually, you're not there anymore. Hopefully you know what I mean. But let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, hey. Just calling from Australia again.
Oh, wow. Australia, huh?
Yeah. And I just wanted to mention this thing I heard on Off the Hook, the last Off the Hook episode.
The other show, yes.
Yeah, this guy that was jailed for 6 years for listening to El Menor.
Oh, for transmitting Al Menor, the satellite channel.
I just can't make any sense of it because Al Menor is like Hezbollah's army, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it is. It's not the best TV channel in the world, but to put somebody in prison for 6 years.
Yeah, but how can you put somebody in prison just for, you know, somebody listening to that? I mean,
well, it wasn't that he was listening to it. It was that he was offering it as a service to people in the community as a channel that they could receive. And I don't believe he paid Al Minor anything for this. He was simply pulling a channel out of the sky and saying, here, with this service that I provide, you can now get this channel as well. And apparently because we labeled that channel as belonging to a terrorist organization, that makes him into a terrorist as well, even though there's absolutely no evidence to suggest that.
Yeah, well, I just don't agree that they're a terrorist organization.
Oh, okay, that's another point of view, and that probably would label you a terrorist in this country for saying that. But that's just how it works here.
You have to take into account, you know, why they were attacked in the first place, and mm-hmm. they were attacked by Israel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we could get into that, but, you know, it's only a few minutes left in the show. Actually, I don't know, did you hear the UN released a study today blaming Israel for a lot of deaths during their recent incursion into the Gaza, and including an attack on a UN compound? And, of course, Israel is just saying, well, you're all biased, and, you know, we're not even going to pay any attention to this. And it's incredible that you can just do that. You can just simply say, I'm not going to, or we're not going to pay any attention to this, and we're just going to carry on doing what we're doing.
Denial.
It makes the UN seem like they don't have any teeth, you know?
Yeah. They're in denial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, again, it comes down to people power. People have to stand up and say, you know, we're not going to take this anymore. People that are over there, citizens of that country, need to stand up and say, this is wrong. And that's the only thing that really make a difference, I think.
Well, yeah, you guys should stand up in your country and say, you know, six years in jail just for, you know, transmitting some radio station. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, that definitely. But, you know, the problem is that we're the only people talking about it. We talked about it off the hook. We're talking about it now. I haven't seen much coverage in the media, and I certainly haven't seen much outrage. People just don't get it. They don't understand the importance of this or why they should be defending somebody.
That they're supporting terrorism.
Yeah, you don't want to be soft on terrorism. God forbid.
Denial talk that this guy, you know, like Hezbollah, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you have to let...
Attack, the other, you know, that they've done nothing wrong.
Right, sometimes you have to let the other side speak so that they can bury themselves, you know, and then...
They buried themselves. The way I think of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying, if you really think somebody is the enemy, silencing them is not the way to prove it. Let them speak and prove they're the enemy, or prove they're stupid, or prove they're wrong. And then if they're not, they have the opportunity to speak. You know, either way, it's a loss if you don't let them speak.
His radio station.
I'm sorry?
It's not his radio station.
No, it's not. It was actually a television station.
Is really just, you know, offering another way to access it.
Right. I think what we said on Off the Hook was that, if anything, he's guilty of not paying for the service that he was taking from the satellite. So Al Minor might have a case against him. But I can't really say
that offers, you know, 6 years in jail.
No.
I mean, I really doubt that this guy gets 6 years in jail.
Well, that's what they're saying, that he's facing at the moment. He could have gotten 20, I believe. So it's insane. Hopefully some...
Yeah, it's totally insane.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, listen, what part of Australia are you in?
Oh, what?
What part of Australia?
Western.
Western, okay. Well, I hope to make it over there someday. It's one of the continents I have not yet been to.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, you should check it out sometime.
I intend to. So.
About our French Polynesia as well.
Yeah, well, there's just so many places to go.
Yeah, there's some nice islands out there over our Fiji and French Polynesia.
Uh-huh. What time is it over there right now?
It's 6:55 a.m. We had daylight savings, so we're about an hour behind, I think.
Oh, it's 6:55 p.m. here, and we're on daylight savings as well.
Yeah.
So just let me remind you and all the other listeners, we have a fundraiser tomorrow on Off the Hook, and we have some very special things we'll be offering. And for you, it'll be between 7 and 8 in the morning. and for everybody else, it'll be between 7 and 8 at night. Well, people in New York, anyway. But I want to thank you very much for calling and for listening.
Okay, yeah, great show.
All right, thank you. Take care. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
How you doing? Real fast.
Real
yesterday,
fast.
Eric?
Yes, go ahead.
We heard our president of the United States say he is going. It is not fair that corporations can avoid taxes with offshore loopholes.
Oh, yeah. I love that. He's going after the offshore tax cheats.
To say that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He said that. Wait.
Fantastic.
Is that the point? That's your whole point? Okay. Well, did I say he didn't say that? All right. Well, yeah, that's great. It's not so great, the thing about illegal wiretapping, though. And it doesn't seem to be coming down very hard against prosecutions there, you know. And this whole Pakistan thing I don't like, and the Afghanistan thing I never liked. But there are a lot of things I like. The things I don't like trouble me. All right. Hey, we're out of time, and we're back from delay. I want to thank everybody for calling. I want to thank those people for writing in. You can write in to otw@2600.com. Maybe we'll read your email on the air. It's entirely possible. In the meantime, hug a Mexican today and enjoy the rest of Cinco de Mayo. We will see you at some point when the CD player starts working again. It's not working at all? What? I'm hitting the buttons. There we go. Have a good night, everybody.
She had a lighter, I had a flame, but she had a fire. I was bright, but she was much brighter. I was high, but she was the sky. Oh, baby, I was bound for Mexico. Bound to let you go. It's all about, but I say I want you, and you don't believe me. You say you want me, but I've got my doubts. Oh, baby, I was bound for Mexico. Oh, baby, I was bound to let you go. The sky. Oh, baby, I was bound for Mexico.